Welcome to Wax Quizzical. My name is Kyron Whitley. This is the podcast with all the questions and really none of the answers. My guest today, host of Do Go On, comedian, you've heard her on Triple J, it's hello to Jess Perkins.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. How's things? How's life in 2020 going for you?
2020 is everything that I had hoped it was going to be. Mm. It's crazy. Every goal.
Did you go to the Kevin 07 conference, the 2020 conference,
yes,
where they were like, it's going to be amazing in the future?
Every year I set myself goals for the next year. I go, okay, so this is what I want to achieve. And
yep,
so far,
global pandemic,
I'm ticking them all.
Tick.
I wanted a little more me time.
Yeah, great.
And I'm nailing it.
A lot of people have turned to puzzles and this sort of thing. We turn to quizzes on this show. How are you at quizzing? Is this a pastime of yours, quizzes on a Saturday morning? Or?
I'm horrendous at it, actually.
Great. Well, we wouldn't want to change the standard from previous weeks. So.
Yeah. Thank God. I did listen. I've listened to a few, and if I didn't know, if I hadn't heard the show before, I probably would have been very nervous. But the podcast that I do is all sort of, like, we kind of call ourselves trivia. Like, we tell stories of things that have happened through history.
Yeah.
I retain none of it. And we did a bonus episode last night. We recorded it, which was a quiz.
Yeah.
And luckily, one of the guys that I host with, Dave, he knows that we're idiots. So he did an entire quiz that was 50-50. You just had to choose one option.
Yeah.
And even then, I was not confident on any of it.
Yeah, well, even that structure of a question has proved difficult for some brains trust in the past. So would you like to meet your assistants
yes,
today?
Yes, please.
Coming in from New England, the northern part of New South Wales, the president of the Friends of New England Club, it's hello to Jeff O'Connell.
And hello to you, Kyron. Thanks for having me on. Oh, I'm stoked to do a bit of quizzing today, let me tell you that. Jess, great to meet you.
How's the weather in New England today, Carlo? Sorry. hang on. I don't know who Carlo is. How's the weather today in New England, Jeff?
Oh, it's another day in heaven, Kyron. Yeah, no, it's about -6, actually. But it's beautiful, beautiful. Looks like there'll be a bit of sunshine this afternoon. And with any luck, we might have a shower or two over the weekend. That's at least what the RFS report's come in with this morning. But, you know, you can take that with a bag of salt. If the bomb's wrong, well, they don't have to report to anyone, do they?
Well, you're the president of the Friends there. Why do the Friends meet of New England? What's the purpose of the club?
Well, we're a society. It was founded in 1959 during the movement for New England, New State movement, the New North Wales movement. And, you know, we lost that referendum, but a lot of people, they just kept up the good vibes, if you will. Just a great community to get together and celebrate some of the great things in history, culture, and the beauty of this
yep,
great national treasure.
And just hate on Sydney.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, what I like to say, New South Wales stands for Newcastle, Sydney, and Wollongong. And about everything else, we're all eating the dirt.
Well, do you still want to create a new state up there?
Every day, yes. We've actually we locked down the borders in November, and the militia have had their work cut out for them, certainly, but it's definitely a vision of mine to see a free and independent New England, and I'll campaign for that till my dying day. Whether that's in bed, content, surrounded by my family, or holding a rifle and charging down the Waterloo Ranges against the New South Wales militia, who knows, Kyron? But I look forward to it, whichever way it goes.
All right. Well, looking forward to seeing you. You might actually know our next guest for the Brains Trust because she's the vice president of the Country Women's Association. I'm sure she's passed through New England. If she's not from there, it's a big hello to Nance.
Who's this?
This is Kyron from Wax Quizzical. Is Nance there?
No, sorry, this is Terry. So I'm just in the middle of a solitaire game on the computer. You're looking for Nance, are you?
Yeah, is she there?
Oh, yeah, sorry, hold on one.
That's all right.
Kyron, was it?
Yes.
Nance, there's someone on the Zooms for you.
Hello, Kyron. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
A bit of a mix-up there. That was my husband, Terry.
Oh, right.
Yes, it was a completely different person. It was Terry. Afternoon is solitaire time for Terry, and we like to give him that time just to be by himself.
Yeah.
I was just in the kitchen, as I am, as the vice president of the Country Women's Association.
What are you whipping up today? Some cream?
Some scones. I like to have a dry scone. I think the cream is for the city folk.
Oh, right.
If you can make a scone great, you can make it dry and it'll taste just as good.
Mm, sort of a separatist movement from the cities as well there.
That's correct. Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. So it's a real pleasure and a real delight.
Yeah, this is Jess.
Hi, Nance. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Jess. Hello, darling. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. I'm fascinated by dry scones.
Mm.
No jam or anything. Just
no,
just
no jam. Yeah, right. I do make a lovely jam, but no, you've got to have the scones dry. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to send you some in the post. I can just wrap that up in some baking paper and pop it in the post for you.
Nance, I would absolutely love that.
Could take up to 2 weeks at the moment. And Nance, I'm not sure, you might have. Have you met Jeff? He's the president of the Friends of New England.
Yes, I have heard of Jeff. Hello, Jeff. How are you going?
Is that Nance Hartigan?
It is, yes, darling.
Nance, I wondered when they said Nance in the CWA. I didn't quite make that connection, you know, because there's also Nancy O'Sullivan.
Yes, but Nancy O'Sullivan is the chapter president, not the vice president, honey.
Is that right? No, I kind of get those mixed up.
We're just going to have a great time. And you never know, Terry's not the sharpest bulb in the tanning bed, but he can help out around the house, so I'm happy to call on him as well.
How are you feeling, Jess? It does sound like we're going to have rural Australian quiz questions covered.
Yeah, it's the conversation equivalent of a warm hug.
I do get that a lot. Yes.
I bet you do, Nance. I bet you do.
All right, well, let's dive into a quiz. Question number one, which song recorded by Bette Midler won Song of the Year at the 33rd Grammy Awards in 1991. Nance, were you watching the Grammys in 1991?
1991. I was up to my pits in baking flour and just getting right into it. That was the year of the biggest bake-off. We were actually trying to make Australia's largest pavlova.
Mm.
Look, I am a Bette Midler fan, though. I do like a bit of Bette. Mm. She's, she can sometimes... Sometimes I do put music on when I'm really getting in the zone in the kitchen. I have to rack my brain about a song, though. That's tricky there. She's got a few good ones, doesn't she?
Yeah. Any favourites?
Let me think. Comes to mind. I'll have to... Terry, Bette Midler. So let me just chat to Terry about it. Sorry, Jeff, you go.
91 was actually the year that the New South Wales Railways shut down the branch line and the Great Northern Rail on from Armidale up to the border.
Mm.
And that actually was a huge, that was big blow to the community, certainly losing that train line. We'd lost the mail train in 88, actually, November 88. They shut down the branch line and all the infrastructure's still there. And Jess, if you do get a chance to get up to New England, I definitely recommend getting out there and just checking out some of the sites there along the rail line.
Mm.
And so 91, yeah, it was a good year. And I have in my mind a song of Bette Midler's that was going on at the time. And I don't know, I feel like it has something to do with wings or being lifted up or something like that.
The wind beneath my, you is are that, the yeah. wind beneath my wings.
Well, that's
I am also
Nance.
The local karaoke champion there. That's a bit of a taste for you.
Champion? I didn't realize it was a competition.
Yes.
Oh, it's all comps in the CWA, yeah.
Absolutely. You should see my home, Kyron. Every surface has a bloody trophy on it.
I'd like to see that, Nance. Where are you based?
I'm in Gas.
In Yass?
Gas, the sister suburb to Yass. But it's
Gas.
Yes.
That's very nice. That's cute that they've done that. I don't know if that's a help to you, Jess.
Yeah.
I think it is, because I think that was a bit of teamwork there between you both, which I appreciate. And I loved getting a little glimpse at those golden pipes, Nance.
Am I allowed to sing that song? Is there some sort of copyright to that?
No, that's fine. I don't think it'll be recognisable by the... other people who check that sort of thing, so we should get away with that. Does any of that help you, Jess, as to which song you'd like to lock in?
I mean, I was thinking Wind Beneath My Wings because it was the first one I thought of, so I'm going to lock that in.
All right, Wind Beneath My Wings. Question number two, in which joint do the humerus, ulna and radius meet? Jeff, did you study biology?
I can't say that I did, Kyron. No, but I did. I tell you what. Humerus, ulna, and radius.
Yeah, when they say joint, I assume they mean some
a bar.
Of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Which cool bar?
Yeah.
I tell you, actually, speaking of good bars,
yeah.
In the old railway station at Glen Innes when it shut down in 91, they kept the railway refreshment rooms going, and it ran through until 2014. And I tell you, if you ever have a craving for those kind of small town pubs, there was nothing better. You'd go in there, it'd be six of you drinking, and God, they poured a good 2 years old. I don't know if I can say that, if that's a plug or anything, but God, it was a good spot.
It does sound like a lot of things have closed down in New England.
Oh, yes. Years of neglect from various state and federal governments has certainly affected us negatively. Yes, absolutely. The golden age is behind us, but it can come again. And, you know, speaking of that pub, it actually, if I could just throw it out there biology-wise, when you think about tilting the old glass of the amber fluid, if you will, that's a kind of humorous exercise. I think maybe it could be the elbow or the wrist, perhaps.
You know why I think it's the elbow? Because that's your funny bone.
Your humorous. That's
that said, that's funny, Nance.
Thank you, darling. But yes, you know, maybe that is why they call it your funny bone. Give that a bit of a tap, because it's the humorous.
I imagine that you've helped out down at the local school from time to time, Nance, with maybe the grade 5 biology, the human body.
Oh, well, don't get into the human body too much, darling. Just leave that to Jesus.
Yep. Let's leave that to Jesus, yes.
Yep.
That's my slogan with biology.
Leave it to Jesus.
Leave it to Jesus.
Not what would Jesus do? You've got your own there.
That's right. And I've actually got a lovely cross stitch as well of that. If you need it for the back of your toilet door, leave it to Jesus.
Well, they're your two options there. It seems like elbow because you lift it in a pub, or leave it to Jesus, Jess, if either of those answers take your fancy.
Obviously, leave it to Jesus is just good advice. But I was one of the very few things that I've retained from high school is the skeletal system.
You mean your own? You've retained your own skeletal system from high school?
I've got the same one, would you believe?
That's rare.
Oh, I wish I was the same as you, Jess. Both knees.
Oh, you've done both your knees.
Oh, it's no good, is it?
What about you, Nance? Have you done a hip or?
Oh, my goodness, Kyron. I have stood by that leave it to Jesus business, so I haven't had any sort of medical intervention. But my goodness, you just watch me trying to get down a set of stairs and it's like a bag of cats set on fire. Just bing, bing, banging over the place. And, I do my best, but most of the time I'm just falling places.
Especially downstairs.
Yes.
That's
right. But tricky. I do support the elbow, the funny bone. But look, if you know about the skeletal system, well done, Jess Love. That's great.
Yeah, I paid attention in school in that part. So I would say elbow as well, because those are all the bones between your elbow and your wrist. But I'm looking at my wrist and I don't know. That feels like there's just a lot of blank air in there. So I'm going to say elbow.
Okay. Question number 3. Edward Stratemeyer created which fictional teenage detective in 1930? You paid attention to biology class. Did you pay attention in English, Jess?
Yep. Yeah, is the short answer yes. Absolutely, I did.
Did Edward Stratemeyer come up?
No. I don't know the name.
No.
Can't think of a teenage detective.
Nance, perhaps this from 1930 may have cropped up in your childhood.
As far as teenage detectives go, I would see no place for a teenager doing any sort of detective work. That seems inappropriate. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, Terry, teenage detective.
Do you want to bring him on?
Okay. Terry, come here. Yeah, just quickly. Hello, everyone. Hello, Kyron. Good to see you again.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for coming back on.
Look, teenage detective, I would say, I'm thinking of characters like Pippi Longstocking's Anne of Green Gables. There's some great young people in literature there. Neither of them, I think, were detectives as such, but they're great characters, aren't they?
Okay, so not detectives.
Veronica Mars, but I think that's a bit too modern, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good knowledge, though, to know Veronica Mars.
Yes, I do know my popular culture, Kyron.
You got Netflix and Stan and all that? Too?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. We have our movie nights, myself and Nance. We get together and she doesn't understand any of the technical side of things, but that's why I'm here. She does the baking and I turn on Netflix. That's it.
Seems pretty fair, even distribution there of workload.
Do you have a partner, Jess?
I do, yes. He also turns on the Netflix and I'm very grateful for him.
And have you ever baked a dry scone?
Not a dry one, no. No.
You know, a scone is like a good relationship.
Yep. Dry?
Keep it plain and dry. You try and add anything else on top, it gets a bit messy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Fingers
yeah.
get a little bit sticky.
Don't want any of those wet-ass scones.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Yeah, that's a reference to WAP, but you'd know that because you're up to date with...
Oh, yes, you're referencing the pussy song.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting looks from Nance. She's upset.
Sorry, what did we interrupt?
No, photography. I'm very into photography. That's right. My passion. Got to
Modern
keep the passion alive,
and
Jess.
And photography.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And solitaire.
Correct. But only online. I don't like playing it with the real cards because when you win in the solitaire on the computer, you get lots of cards and they fan out and a little trumpet plays. And I live for those days. You know, I really do. It's a highlight of my week.
That little trumpet, yeah.
Yeah,
yes. I'm sure you'd all understand there. We're on Teenage Detectives, aren't we? I've gone off track and started talking about WAPs. I'm coming up blank on that one. Sorry, everyone.
That's all right. Jeff might know a little bit more. Did you read detective novels?
I tell you, Karen, I didn't, though. I did read a good lot of Darcy Narland, who is one of New England's – he's actually New England's only Penguin Classic – author, wrote The Shirley. I used to amuse myself with his books. And also his late wife, Ruth Park. I don't know if you've read The Harp in the South, but it really captures in time the experience of the Irish in Sydney suburbia in the 1950s and 60s. It really takes you back there. And I'll occasionally...
That's a rare piece of knowledge that you've got not about New England.
Well, I know Ruth Park through her marriage to Darcy Narland, who came originally from Glen Innes in New England.
I see.
So,
there's
a connection there. I try and keep my knowledge fairly blinkered in that way. If I can. Now, as to the question, Karen, I have to say I don't know too much about detectives of a teenage variety or an adult, I would say. But I think Pippi Longstocking is a good one. You know, it reminds me of a story back in the 60s. A little boy who was 7 years old, he disappeared in the hinterland near Kyra there. And I was just a teenager at the time and me and a couple of, a good few of us from the town, actually, about nearly 50 of us rode out from Glen, and we headed up into the hinterland there of Gyre, and it was one of the biggest searches by foot, air, and horse that the New England's ever seen. And we found him, you know, we did find him on day three. We found that little boy, and they made a song about it. It's called Little Boy Lost. And you can catch it. I think it's in the public domain, actually.
Oh, great.
And so you can use that if you like, Kyron. Oh, yes, he was alive. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Not after we found him, though. We skinned him up pretty good. No, that's just a little joke there for you, guys.
There you go, Jess. We've got Pippi Longstocking seems to be the lead, although we also have that story about the dead boy. You could go your own way.
Obviously, it's tempting to go for little boy that Jeff skinned. But I think
just a joke there.
Just
Jess,
a joke.
No?
Just a joke. No boys were harmed time. I will say Pippi Longstockings.
All right, lock in.
Because I've got nothing else.
Another school question here for you. The acronym STEM is used to group which academic disciplines? STEM, STEM.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I imagine actually that biology probably comes under this.
Yeah, I know roughly what it is. Can I think of what each letter is? Probably not. And I think it's fairly clear from my poor choice of career that I did not do many of the sciences.
The aforementioned letters.
I did psychology, which was technically a science, and I very proudly told everyone that. I am doing a science, actually, Dad, along with drama and photography, okay, Dad?
Well, I guess, I don't know if Terry or Nance is here at the moment.
Oh, it's Nance, darling.
Oh, Nance. I guess that baking is its own science, isn't it? It's a very exact science.
Oh, absolutely. It takes a lot of scientific methods. It's quite technical, and there's some engineering and mathematics in there as well.
Oh, yeah, Nance. I mean, every year I like to go to the Glen Innes Agricultural Show on the second weekend of February and some of the cakes that you get there, I mean, the stuff that people come up with.
You're welcome to come and taste my cakes anytime you'd like, Jeff.
And that's not a metaphor.
Well, that's very kind. That's very kind of you. Next time I'm down in Gass, I'll look you up, Nance.
Oh, please do. I've got the same landline if you want to give it a call.
All right. Yeah, no, that'd be great, Nance. I don't get down that way too often, but maybe it's time I change that, you know.
Why would you ever want to leave New England?
Well, that's what I say. And I pitched it as to put it on some of the tourism boards in the area, but people said it was a little too parochial. And I say to them, you know, when do you get too parochial? You know, I mean, that's the very definition of the word, you think. But, you know, I was certainly voted down on that, and the ministers stopped taking my calls. But there'll be a change of government soon, and I'll be back in.
I mean, that's the great thing about New England, is that you don't have to leave. It's got everything. All the things you need to make a scone, you've got in New England.
Well, that's it. That's it. You know.
Is there anything that you have to import to New England, or could you be entirely self-sufficient?
I mean, seafood we're pretty short on, being 200 miles inland.
Yeah.
You get a rising salinity through deforestation, certainly on the Western Plains. We could make our own salt water. Yeah. I couldn't see why that couldn't be achieved.
Sorry, darling Jess, to keep rabbiting on about this, but I do take issue with, Kyron, your previous statement just about having all the ingredients for a scone.
Mm.
You know, doth not make the scone taste well.
Another classic saying.
That's great. Yeah, I've also got that on the back of my toilet door. Yeah. But it does take a lot of skill. And as the vice president, I take my scone skill very seriously. And there are secrets I will take to my deathbed that I will not share with anyone.
Yeah.
And that's a blood oath that you take in the CWA.
Well, I guess to get back to that question, Jess, of what STEM stands for.
Oh, yeah, what does STEM stand for?
Well, oh, yeah.
As I've said, baking a scone, in my opinion, takes a lot of, it takes science, it takes a lot of technology, and there's engineering and there's maths in there as well.
Yeah, yep. I would agree
on that.
Yeah, I think STEM, much like a scone, is based on those four things, yes. Science, technology, engineering, maths.
Great. Let's lock that in. Question number 5. A flageolet belongs to which family of musical instruments?
I'm going to jump in here on this one. I just thought when I heard that word, I think it's a woodwind. And that's because the Conservatory of Music that used to be at the top of Armidale, it was originally slated as the council building for a possible new state parliament. It's a beautiful building. And if you go up there, one of the things that you, and it's definitely worth taking a tour if you can, they don't run public tours, but if you go up, you can ask somebody to take you through it and they'll generally oblige, but it's, if you go up, they have along the left-hand walls, you come in, they have a variety of various instruments from their time as a Conservatory of Music. And one of the instruments there is, I think, a flageolet. Now, I could be wrong on that. I could definitely be wrong. And I wouldn't hang my hat on it. But I just want to throw it out there from the get-go in case you, Jess, and you, Laura.
Who's Laura?
Jumping off pad.
Who's Laura?
Sorry, Nance. I think...
now, Jess, darling, you look like someone who's talented in the arts. Do you play any instruments?
Thank you, Nance, and I am very talented in the arts. I don't really play anymore. As a child, I learnt the piano, and then when I was about 17, I decided that was uncool, which was a decision I've regretted ever since. So I'm confident it's not a type of piano. I'm pretty confident on that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nance, have you got a musical background yourself?
Just my singing abilities.
Wow.
I like to sing to the oven.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of my secret ingredients is if you can hit a B flat while the dough is rising.
Do you have to hold, is it a sustained B flat?
Yes, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a B flat, is it?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know, now that you've said that note there, I start to look at the word itself, flageolet, and it does sound to me like, you know, it's reminiscent of words like flagellate or things of that nature, which involve a whipping motion. And I start to wonder if perhaps it could be a kind of fiddle even.
How do you go with the whips?
Oh, I've done a bit of whip play in my time for sure, yeah.
What do we mean by whip play?
Oh, well, you know, just your general cracking the whip for a few laughs, you know, in an intimate setting with a partner in a respectful and consensual way. You know, I've dabbled.
Sorry, is someone here talking about whips? I thought I'd jump in here because I do like a good whipping.
That's got to be Terry.
That's Terry.
That is hello, yeah, darling.
G'day, Terry, yep. All right.
You've got a bloody, your ears must light up, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hanging around. I can hear Nancy's getting pretty excited. So I thought I'd pop my head in and see what was happening. You're bloody talking about whips. So I thought I'd come in and say, you got to get the cat o' nine tails. That's the one.
I haven't used a whip in agricultural practice since 1973.
No, I'm not using that on animals.
In the bedroom, though, whole other story.
That's when you're
that's right.
Hey, Terry.
Once the doors are closed.
Oh, Jess. I'll give you my landline.
I don't want it, Terry.
You and Nance share material, I think.
All right, I'll put Nance back on. Sorry, everyone.
No, that's all right.
So, look, I'm going to say that it's a woodwind.
Which 1984 film stars Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks?
Splash.
Ed, straight Splash. In. Splash. Okay.
Happy to lock that in?
Oh, I'm not going to argue that. Nance has got that down.
As soon as you said Tom Hanks, my little, I perked up, Jess. Yep.
are you a Tom Hankophile, are you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. When I watched Castaway, which is my favourite, something really stirred in me, and I just think it's a wonderful film. I watch it every Tuesday.
Yep.
But I think the answer is Splash, but I'm open to correction if anyone has any other ideas. But sorry, I should have spoken my answer out. I didn't tell you my working out. I just went straight in for it. I was a bit excited.
No, that's fine.
I love that kind of enthusiasm because even if by some chance, which I doubt, even if you're wrong, I love that feeling when something comes to you straight away and you feel really confident in your answer. So I want to reward that. Mm. So I'm going to say Splash 2.
Yeah.
No, it's not Splash 2.
No, that was
a different film.
Yeah.
Didn't go so well.
No, it's just sequels Splash really down. Do, don't they? Yeah,
the great thing about Castaway is just the screen time that Tom Hanks gets in it.
Mm. That's why it's my favourite.
He's on there for the full, I think it's 350 minutes. Mm.
352, Kyron.
What is it about Tom Hanks that gets you in the mood?
The brows, the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's certifiably one of our best eyebrow actors. Just the emotion that he can, the performance he can give. I mean, if you think about the scene with Wilson, just watch his brows. They're going crazy. They're all over the place.
It's a shame there's no, like, Academy Award category for brows.
I have written some letters about it.
Mm.
Jess, you work in the media. You might be able to get that pushed a bit further up.
Yeah, I'll pass that along for you, I think, yeah.
Oh, thank you, darling.
No worries, Nance. I pretty much exclusively do the overnight shift at Triple J. So obviously I've got a lot of sway. So I'll definitely...
In that the chair moves.
Yeah. If I get the good one, yeah, it does move. Sometimes somebody's taken that to a different studio and I've just got a pretty shitty one. But anyway, I'll have a word for you.
Jeff, are there any cinemas in New England?
There's actually – New England started what's called the Volunteer Cinema Scheme in the early 1990s, and it began in Glen Innes. And the idea was that at
Happy
the
to
end
lock in
of
Splash,
their
yes.
Yeah, yep, that's fine. Thanks.
Question number seven. Cinema. Andrew Cuomo is the governor of which U.S. state? American politics is in the news quite a lot. I was going to say lately, but just forever.
Yeah.
So perhaps Andrew Cuomo has come up in your feed, Jess?
Well, yeah, I definitely know the name, and now I'm drawing a complete blank, and I'm hoping.
Well, I imagine
Nancy and Jeff.
You reckon Jeff? I don't think he knows where the roads go from from New England, but yeah, we could check in on its American politics if you like. Jeff, do you follow the American news cycle?
Oh, I can't say that I do. You've picked that well, Colin. Yeah. Just judging by his name, though, I reckon somewhere maybe on the west.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Is that from the Andrew or from the Cuomo?
From the mixture of the two, AQ. Oh, yeah.
Just yeah. Says something about the East Coast, you reckon?
Something about AQ, yeah. Don't know what it is.
Okay.
Nance, is there a CWA of America, or is that exclusively an Australian invention? I imagine obviously it's very popular here, but has it spread to the States, do you know?
Yeah, that's right. So the CWAA, it's actually the QA, is the Country Women's Association of Australia, and there is a CWU, the Country Women's Association of United States of America. It's actually a QAUSA, that one there. And I feel Cuomo is giving me, I feel like it's maybe connected to one of those more hippie places.
I reckon if you were to look at an area that's been a particular hot spot and there's been a lot of conflict between the governor and the president, say, that's on maybe the West Coast, then maybe that might get you to it.
If you had your own country in New England, would you split it up into states?
Yeah, we'd split it into states, yeah.
And do you think you'd have governors of each of those states?
I think we'd just have the one governor. We'd follow the Commonwealth's States Act in that respect.
Yeah.
But
for each of the regions, perhaps you might have a leader. And like, say, in the far west, if you were to have a leader called Andrew Cuomo, what state of New England do you think that would be called?
I don't know. I love the name Oregon.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of Ursula K. Le Guin and her writings in science fiction, speculative fiction and fantasy. And a lot of her books are set in Oregon and Portland and the various other.
We've had some problems with the Portland CWA USA branch.
Quosa.
Said adding some things into their brownies that we had to have a bit of a discussion about. That's really coming to mind, and I'm with Jeff on this one. I think they're it's an interesting part of the US over there.
Yeah, well, I haven't given an answer. I just want to say I'm just hypothetically thinking that if there were a Western state in New England and I was thinking of a hypothetical name, I would probably call it Oregon based on the work of one of my great heroes, Ursula K. Le Guin, who I thank the public library system of New England and particularly the mobile library of Red Range for introducing me to.
Well, what do you reckon, Jess? Does Oregon just sort of feel like the kind of, just based on the fact that that would be a good name for a far western state run by someone called Andrew Cuomo in New England, does that feel like it might be the answer to question 7?
Yep.
Sure. Question number 8. Is a genet a type of bird, mammal, or fish? G-E-N-E-T. Genet? 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 Genet?
Now, a genet is a bird.
Mm.
And that's G-A-N-E-T.
And this is G-E-N-E-T.
Stranger things have happened.
What do they call the people? This has come up on an episode previously. I can't remember what you call bird watchers. What's the nickname?
Twitchers.
For Twitchers,
yeah.
That's right. Are you a twitcher, Jeff?
I don't believe in labels too much, but I do love watching birds. Oh. We have a couple of endemic bird species to the New England region and greater New England region. Amongst them, is it the Reginald lyrebird? Now, I'm blanking on the name, and that's it's certainly to my chagrin. There's egg on my face forgetting that.
I actually, I don't know what they call it. It's not a twitch, but I do like to watch fish. So I don't know what if there's a name for that group, but fish watching is a beautiful.
Fitcher? Felcher? Fisher?
Fisher? Fishes, that's catchy.
How do you go and watch the fish? Do you get a snorkel out or?
You wade out. You wade out into the water. You check no one's around. You hike up your dress and take a deep breath, dunk your head in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This is just in the local dams around Gass, is it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
But the things that you will see with your head in that water.
Let's list them.
Yeah, what will you things,
see? Oh, look, you'll start with a bit of a floating Band-Aid. You'll see a couple of rocks. Take a breath. Go back down. A little fish. Brown, nothing too exciting. Take a breath. Go back down.
Yeah.
Might see some more fish. Brown, same as before.
Wow.
Not very exciting. Take a breath. Go back down.
And so Tuesdays are for Castaway. When does this happen? Just trying to build a calendar of your week, Nance.
Look, Kyron, you're welcome to visit me anytime you like. We can watch Castaway. We can dunk our heads in the dam and we can bake a dry scone, you know.
Squeeze it all into a Tuesday.
No, the fish watching is Wednesday, obviously.
It's the Albert Lyrebird. The Albert Lyrebird.
Ah, yes, yes.
Well, Jeff, we have superb lyrebirds in Gass, and they're just wonderful. So I would challenge you on that one. I'm getting a bit sick of this. Everything's in New England.
If you buried your head into New England, would you see more than a brown fish and a Band-Aid?
You'd see a beating heart of pride, I reckon.
Yeah.
But is a gannet a type of bird, mammal, or fish?
I feel like we've mentioned, obviously, Nance's love of looking at fish.
Yeah.
And obviously, Jeff knows of a type of lyrebird.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's any help to you, Jeff.
It's not.
I'm not sure if it is either, but I appreciate the trivia. I'm going to say a fish as well, actually. Right. I'm going to say fish.
Let's lock in fish.
Oh, well done, darling.
Question 9. Kathy Freeman won a gold medal at the Sydney Olympics wearing a full bodysuit. What colour was the suit's torso?
Loved the Olympics. I've done a full report on Do Go On about the opening ceremony of the Sydney Olympics.
Wow.
Just the opening ceremony.
It was a spectacle, wasn't it, Jess?
It bloody was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, makes you proud to be Australian.
But all that focus on the opening ceremony means you probably ignored some of the gold medalists.
Not Kathy Freeman, though.
No.
I loved her. I wrote to her.
Did you really?
I really did. And I got a letter back from Kieran Perkins. And I was like, Kieran.
You are not the same,
you're being
Kieran.
Clingy. You're being clingy, okay? I wanted to hear back from Kathy.
I did a school report on Kieran Perkins when I was at school.
Did you?
Yeah. Because I'm a Kyron and he's a Kieran. Mm. It was inspirational to me to see someone in the media who had a similar name. And you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
So in that I knew that I was able to be a Kieran when I grew up.
Yes. When they talk about diversity in the media, they're talking about strange K names, aren't they?
Yes, they are,
Obscure examples of Anglo-Celtic names. I think that's what they're talking about. Certainly in the latest media diversity report that's come out, that's what they focus on.
That's what they're chasing,
Variations on a K.
And obviously as well for myself too, growing up with a really uncommon surname like Perkins, my family was so excited when Kieran Perkins signed a deal with Pura Light Start. So we exclusively drank that milk for easily 15 years.
Jeff, was the Sydney Olympics a good enough reason to get out of New England?
I did think about going down to Sydney and I had my boots polished and I had a new pair of moleskins that I got down in Tamworth. Actually, no, I lie. I got it across at Moree. I went to Assefs.
Well, glad we cleared that up.
But in the end, the television coverage was so good.
Mm.
And the radio coverage as well from when you were out in the paddock. And so I wore that new pair of moleskins to the Glen Innes Agricultural Show on the 2nd February of the month, the following year, 2001. And a lot of people commented, they said, there's some flash strides. And I was pretty chuffed. So I have the Olympics to thank for that.
Mm. Well, the other person who wore flash strides that day was Kathy Freeman. Nance, do you remember that outfit?
I do remember it. I actually, this is a fun bit of trivia, I actually auditioned for the part of Nikki Webster getting on, you know, kind of from the roof of the of the pavilion area being kind of lowered down and singing. They said at the end of the day, they said my voice was angelic, but I was 50 years old at the time, so a little bit older.
Right, they went a different way.
But I remember watching Kathy, because I think she's a fantastic sports person, and I do feel like her suit was green and gold, potentially the torso being green or maybe silver.
Do you remember it, Jess?
Yeah, I remember the suit was, there's definitely green on there, like a beautiful, almost teal kind of green. But also there might have been patches or stripes of gold or something, but I think the majority was silver. And so to take a punt, I would say the torso was silver.
Say silver.
I support you on that one, Jess.
Thanks, Nance. You really triggered that for me, though. You got the image back in my head, so yeah. I appreciate that.
And sorry you didn't get that gig, Nance. That would have been spectacular.
That sucks.
I do have an audition tape for it, though, if you...
Oh, yeah, you could put that on now if you like.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the song that Nikki sang?
Strawberry Kisses, was it?
I think she did Strawberry Kisses at the opening ceremony. Yeah,
yeah, that's. Yeah.
I've been missing your strawberry kisses. It's nothing as sweet the taste of those acres.
Question number 10. Which author links the novels Swan's Way, Time Regained, and The Fugitive? Great film, links The Fugitive. Them. You'd like that one, Jeff Harrison Ford.
Yeah, no, I actually travelled to Armidale to see that. Not specifically for the film. We were there for the Armidale Agricultural Show. And I remember it was a bad year. I think it must have been, 88 or 89 or something around then. It was...
irrelevant?
Could have been later maybe. But I remember it was fairly dry on the ground.
Yeah.
And the scene where there's the waterfall and such,
yep.
That really did bring a tear to my eye just to see
just
that
water.
The volume of water.
The volume of water, yeah.
But the author of the original novel,
that is the question.
It's really hard for me to pin down if they weren't born in New England or related through marriage in some way to someone from New England.
I mean, it may not even, I don't know if it's actually an adaptation of this book that went to The Fugitive, but so the question itself, I guess, which author links novels Swan's Way, Time Regained, and The Fugitive?
I have no idea, and I can't even think of authors.
What?
Lockin Dan Brown.
Yes, I reckon it's probably Dan Brown.
Dan Brown.
Done a lot, hasn't he? He's written a lot, hasn't he?
Very prolific.
Mum loves Dan Brown.
Yeah. I guess the thing about Dan Brown, though, is that we do know the names of most of his books, don't we?
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. No,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we do. Thrown a spanner in the works there, Kyron, haven't you? Do you have any ideas, Kyron? You haven't really been lifting your weight here, have you, answering any of these questions?
You're not helping.
Yeah, I tend to just ask the questions. I guess I could lead you down a path, I guess. Is it Marcel Proust?
I reckon it's probably Marcel Proust.
Could be Proust, yeah.
They sound like classic Prousts.
Yeah.
I think it's the Proust, though, isn't it? Proust?
Proust.
I wonder if it's
you're adopting my accent a bit there, Jess.
I'm a real mimic. Sorry about that.
Is it Tom Clancy? That's the fellow I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy? Yeah, he did was that Hunt for Red October and all that? Was that Clancy?
Hunt for Red October and Hunt for Red January and Hunt for Blue March.
Wilbur Smith?
Wilbur Smith's done a lot, yes. Yep. My mum likes a bit of Wilbur Smith as well.
Yeah.
But I reckon I might... I reckon something that Kyron said really stuck with me, I think. And
Dan Brown, was it?
Yeah, it set off a bit of a light bulb for me. So I think I'll, just this once, I'll go with what Kyron said.
Okay.
And I'll say Marcel Proust.
Yeah, okay, interesting. All right, happy to lock that in. That's 10 questions. How do we feel like we did? Jeff, are you optimistic about your scores today?
Look, I always say go into it with a belly full of hope. And you'll come out of it with a shit of dreams.
Belly of hope, shit of dreams. There's another saying for your toilet door, Nancy. How do you feel like we went today in the scores? What are you hoping for out of 10?
I'm going for a 10 out of 10 because at the CWA, if you get anything less than a 10 out of 10, you put it on the ground, you spit on it, set it on fire, stomp on it, and start again.
May as well not have shown up.
Wow.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Okay, well.
Did you learn that from the bedroom?
I don't know what you're referring to there.
Your sex life.
Kyron, my goodness. I would never.
It just, it, I mean, it has come up. I mean, it's come up a little bit, hasn't it? I mean, Terry was on before talking
scone,
about.
When you make a wet scone.
Yeah.
When you make a wet scone and it's too moist.
You spit on it to make it more moist.
Spit on it, set it on fire, stomp it out.
Yeah.
Put start it in the bin. Start again. I like my scones like I like my men dry.
It's a shame that doesn't rhyme.
Yeah. Like my scones, like I like my men dry. Yeah, sorry, tried it again. I couldn't find the rhyme.
Yeah, that's all right. Jess, are you as optimistic as your brain's trust?
I don't think there's a 10 in our future. So I'm looking forward to taking this podcast, spitting on it, setting it on fire, and starting again.
Stomping on it and starting again. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a look, see how we did. Question number one was, which song recorded by Bette Midler won Song of the Year at the 33rd Grammy Awards in 1991? You said Wind Beneath My Wings, but the answer was From a Distance.
From a distance there was
home. Didn't catch that second line there. What was that? Question number two. In which joint do the humerus, ulna, and radius meet? You said elbow. The answer was elbow.
Yes.
That's one for us.
Question number three. Edward Stratemeyer created which fictional teenage detective in 1930? You said Pippi Longstocking, but the answer was Nancy Drew.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense because she's a teenage detective.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nancy, I thought you might have known that one given it's a namesake of sorts.
No, I wasn't named after a teenage detective. I was named after a local cow.
Question number four, the acronym STEM is used to group which academic disciplines? You said science, technology, engineering, maths, and the answer is science, technology, engineering, and maths.
Oh, that's another one for us.
Doing well.
Question five, a flageolet belongs to which family of musical instruments? You said woodwind, and that's correct.
Oh, yes.
Well done, Jessica.
Question number six, which 1984 film stars Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks?
Oh, Nance, come on.
What did you say again, Nance?
Splash.
You'd be correct.
Yes, hey. Nance.
Question number seven, Andrew Cuomo is the governor of which US state? After much deliberations and some real deep thinking from Jeff, you locked in Oregon, and the answer is New York.
Mm. I really talked you out of that one, Jeff.
It did seem like you knew, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well, it did, definitely. I thought like I was getting a bit of a clue there when you started giving me hints about what I would name a state
The
West.
I thought you had it in you and I was just trying to eke it out.
No, you did well, Kyron. We both did well. And the lesson is never back a dark horse.
Question number eight, is a genet a type of bird, mammal or fish? Based on Nance's head dunking in the local dams, you said fish, but the answer's mammal.
Ah, what's a genet? Genet.
I don't know, something to Google
look, what's
later.
The difference between a mammal and a fish? Come on now, right. They're being silly with this one.
Question
We're
number
all
nine.
Living creatures, yeah, you're right.
Kathy Freeman won a gold medal at the Sydney Olympics wearing a full bodysuit. What colour was the suit's torso? You said silver, and the answer is silver. And the last question here, which author links the novel Swan's Way, Time Regained and The Fugitive? You randomly locked in Marcel Proust, and the answer is Marcel Proust.
Yes!
We got it!
Giving you 6 out of 10, equal second best ever in Wax Quizzical.
Get out of town.
Look at that.
Wow. Well, it's all
well done, Jess.
It's all because I had well the done, best Jess. Brains trust.
Well, I led you astray as
Terry,
much as I led you on
six.
Track, I have to say.
Yeah. I
we
guess
got six.
You did have the...
We got six.
The benefit.
Terry, we got six.
You did have the benefit of having 3 people on your brain's trust.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, or 4, including me. Yes.
That's right. Nance, could you thank Terry for us? I know he's probably busy at the moment, but thank him for me.
What is Terry up to right now?
I have just popped back on quickly. Nance just called me and said you got six. I wanted to say congratulations. That's a wonderful achievement for you all. Yep. I'm actually got my pants around my ankles. I was just on the tot. But I did want to just waddle out quickly and let you know I think six is an admirable score. So well done, everyone.
Thanks very much, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. We'll leave you to your whips and your photography. It is. We are recording this on a Tuesday, so enjoy Castaway tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I think we've got some lovely baked goods to have with that, and we're going to have a bit of a snuggle. And we do a bit of a – Nance calls me Wilson – and I float away down the hall.
Yes.
She cries a bit, sheds a tear, and we spend the night in separate beds.
you got to have fun, don't you? Don't you, Nance, you know?
Yeah.
It's you're talking to Terry. Nance is
she's on the tour now.
It can be confusing when you do look so similar. But if you ever get sick of Castaway, and I know that's a pretty foreign concept, but would you ever consider watching The Kings, the Drag Kings show live at Giant Dwarf, which is available to stream online?
I think the Drag Kings are wonderful, and I think it's great. You can stream it online for a very cheap price too. So that happens once a month, doesn't it, Karen?
Yeah, I think it does, and it's led by Laura Hart in the character of Big Rod.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. Laura's fantastic. She's got some real skill with her characters, especially her voice work. It's just you're transported to a different place, aren't you?
Yeah, and her hair's looking good at the moment too.
Yep. All right, well, Nance has finished on the toot, so I'm going to go, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'll finish my game of solitaire when I'm done there.
Thanks, Jeff, for lending us your time. I know that you've got a lot of work to do as the president of the Friends of New England up there.
You know, you got to make time for a bit of trivia, test the old grey matter, as it were. Mm. And it was nice to reminisce on some of those good tales of New England.
You've got the cinema up there in New England. Do you have any comedy clubs up there or a local improv scene by chance?
Not too much, no. We've had some visiting improvisers come through, certainly. They perform at Glen Innes and things. I get along there. It's good to support the arts.
I think Carlo Ritchie's from New England. I imagine he might have been through once or twice.
He is. He's from Glen Innes. He came up once and had a roaring crowd there at the Chapel Cinema. Nearly sold the place out. He was four tickets shy. Second time he came up, he had 12. And so I don't know if his star's waning in New England, but I certainly am following his career, you know.
Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us and congratulations on such a high score, Jess. That's so rare. So it was enjoyable.
Lots of guessing and it proves to work. I don't know how.
If people shove do go on into the podcast app that they're in right now, they're likely to stumble across your pod, aren't they?
Yep, they'll find us, and we've got over 250 episodes.
Good Lord.
Bloody hell.
Which is a lot.
Remember those times when you used to tour the world with the podcast?
Yeah, we're supposed to be on tour in a couple of months. but that's all right. I'm sure we'll hit the road again in, I don't know, 2040. but, yeah, you can listen to the podcast, or if you're up in the middle of the night, you can listen to me on Triple J once a week, try and figure out what day. It changes.
That's it for Wax Quizzical this week. Thank you very much. Goodbye.